Brad Wilcox is here. He is a professor of sociology at the University of Virginia. Brad, good morning and welcome.
Pat, it's good to be here today.
Well, I'll tell you what, as professor of sociology, I can't imagine how full your plate is right now because everything is happening when it comes to social behavior of all kinds.
Yeah, no, studying sex, romance, and marriage today, it's a busy, at least we have a busy plate right now.
Yeah, and of course, Valentine's Day just a couple of days away, and there are a number of ways to approach that particular, at least quasi-holiday. And you've written an article and in Politico magazine called "Too Much Netflix, Not Enough Chill, Why Young Americans Are Having Less Sex." Well, it seems to me that would be a natural, you know, progression because a lot of young Americans are still living at home.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we find, and I've done this with Sam Sturgeon at Demographic Intelligence, a survey and demographic consulting firm, you know, in the article is that more and more young adults are living at home with mom and or dad.
Yeah, that kind of takes the fun out of it right there.
Makes it a little bit harder to, you know, to get busy when mom or dad is just overhead. That's certainly part of the story. But, you know, what's interesting, Pat, about this new trend in sort of sexless America is that we're seeing a big spike since about 2012 or 2013 in Americans who aren't having sex. And that's curious, both because the economy has been getting better since then and because there hasn't been really a big increase in younger adults living at home since then. So that led us to think about what is driving this more recent spike. And what we're hypothesizing here, and this is just more of a theory right now than, you know, a confirmed fact.
Right.
What we're hypothesizing here is that the dramatic increase in smartphones and social media and screens, including Netflix, hence the title, is discouraging some of us from, you know, spending time socializing, including that most intimate form of socializing, namely sex.
Well, it seems to me that, again, this is the natural progression because most folks take those particular devices and put them on their nightstands. You know, as they go to bed.
That's true. So I think for couples, there may be a way in which, you know, our devices distract us from having sex. And we have seen, for instance, you know, there are obviously evidences in the past where when, you know, a city loses power for a day or for some period of time, you see an upward spike in babies 9 months later. That's sort of one piece of evidence, you know, in our favor. But I think more fundamentally, the question that we're wrestling with is whether or not the spread of sort of smartphones and social media, not to mention pornography, are kind of discouraging younger adults from spending time in person with one another and discouraging dating and mating as well.
Well, it makes me wonder, Brad, as we look down the road a little bit, whether anybody is going to be having sex because it's so easy to come by in 8 billion places and there's easy access. You don't even have to have permission to watch pornography. And so it's a little bit worrisome the further we get away from each other in all sorts of contexts that I'm wondering if there'll be a population crisis in years to come.
Well, you know, we are seeing a 38-year low right now in the U.S. fertility rate, which is on point with what you're saying. And I think, you know, in some ways, you know, there was a big New York Times piece in the Sunday magazine sort of worrying about what teenagers are doing with online porn. But I think when we kind of ramp things up with virtual reality and pornography, it might make, I mean, I hate to say it, kind of Pornhub look, you know, look quaint. And so that, you know, could add an entirely new dynamic here to the pressures on real sex with real people when you have, you know, such incredible virtual alternatives on offer through, you know, the electronic media coming down the pike.
Aren't there, though, I can think of at least a few attributes to the personal connection above those you can find electronically?
Oh, completely. I mean, I'm certainly of the view that, you know, in many ways and in many things, connecting with real people in person is superior to what happens online. And that comes not just with sex, but with, you know, many other things.
Yeah, that's really, it's really about human health, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a lot of work being done by Gene Twenge down at San Diego State, for instance, showing us that, you know, our psychological well-being is much better when we're kind of meeting with people in person rather than just sort of spending a lot of time, you know, online. That relates to sex as well.
Do you see any light at this the end of this particular tunnel, Brad, or are we just going to keep going further and further down this path?
You know, I think that there is going to be a course correction here. It may not be strong enough in some ways, but I do think that there are more and more Americans and more parents realizing that they have to put, you know, limits on their own use of technology and their kids' use of technology, their teens' use of technology. And I think we're going to see, and we are seeing, you know, more and more apps from places like Comcast that allow, you know, parents to kind of limit how much time their kids are spending on, you know, on the home network, for instance, and more apps that are limiting our own devices. You know,
yeah.
Apple, for instance, has put on an app for driving that limits your use of the device. So I think that we can have some course correction, and that would be a good thing.
Well, certainly for kids now, it's the same theory as it's always been, and that is you try to role model for your kids. And so if mom and dad, the parents, are not spending enough time interacting socially with their kids or anybody else, if they're on their own devices, then that's not going to be a very good example for the kids.
Yeah, exactly. And the idea here, of course, is not a zero tolerance policy. It's just more about trying to generate a sense of moderation in how all of us use our devices.
Well, we've heard a lot about, as America gets older and older and the baby boomers are now senior citizens and that sort of thing. We've heard about that particular arena of the population having less sex. Who is having sex and why them?
Well, that's a great question. We do see in the research that, you know, it's still the case that married folks have more sex than their unmarried peers, although sort of their married sex is down today, well, as it was, say, in the 1990s. So they have more sex, but they're having less of it, you know, than they did back in 1990. And I think it's partly, again, perhaps a consequence of the rise of screen culture. We see that when it comes to couples, folks who are employed actually have more sex than those who are unemployed, you know, and that's, I think, partly just because unemployment can be a real hit to your sense of self-worth.
Yeah.
So these are the kinds of things that we see in the research on kind of who's having sex versus who is not having sex today.
Well, it's kind of sad. I mean, it really is. It's a little depressing that the entire country is leaning this way. And, you know, it wasn't so very long ago that we were thinking that young adults had it all in terms of the time, the energy, and the interest in sex.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it is sort of it's a real paradox, you know, that we're at this moment in time, and surprisingly, 50 years after the sexual revolution, we are seeing a decline in sex among younger adults. And you know, as I said in the political piece, the concern here is that we might, you know, walk down a path pioneered by Japan, where there are large numbers of young adults who, you know, haven't had sex, who aren't having sex, who aren't dating, aren't getting married, and aren't having kids. And over time, of course, that can lead to real problems, not just sort of demographically, because Japan is shrinking in real terms, population-wise, but just there's a lot of loneliness in a country like Japan because people don't have family members in the mix to like they used to.
And that's the saddest part of it all, really. And you know, with human beings, once we begin to isolate, we tend to continue to do that more and more and more. So I'm not sure what the good news part of this story is, Brad. Can you enlighten us?
Well, one of the things we talk about in the article is just that, you know, this is obviously coming in connection now, or the sort of the Me Too movement is coming into the mix as well here. And I think, you know, what might be happening in part with all this, particularly in the wake of the Me Too movement, is that we're going to see less sort of abusive and less, you know, non-consensual and less bad sex, you know, particularly for younger women, you know, and people are going to be a bit more selective and more committed, you know, in all this. I think that's a, you know, an upside to,
right,
to this, you know. So it's not an entirely a negative story here.
Well, you can read the entire article at Politico Magazine. It is Brad Wilcox, professor of sociology at the University of Virginia. And let's hope that we're not having a conversation, Brad, a few years from now saying, remember when anybody had sex?
Right. Okay.
Thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Pat.